Good evening. Welcome to this episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. A week after the Super Bowl, the Raiders and the rest of the AFC West have so much work to do. To discuss some of that, we bring in one of the best out there, our guy Ryan Holmes. Good evening, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing good. Good evening to yourself as well.
Now, as I mentioned, by the time this is heard, about a week and a day removed from the Super Bowl. What was your takeaway from the Chiefs in this game?
The takeaway from the Chiefs was I thought the lack of depth on the offensive line really came into play without their starting tackles. And you kind of saw Mahomes start to see pressure that wasn't there yet once they started getting to him. And he was taking a lot of deep drops, 10-plus steps, and those tackles really didn't have a chance to hold up against that pass rush. And you saw what a good pass rush and defensive line can do. It was reminiscent of the Giants when they played the Patriots a few years back when Justin Tuck and Omi Usunora and those guys got after Tom Brady. It was similar to that, and the Chiefs never rebounded.
Now, what can the rest of the division take from this game as far as little bits and pieces on how to defeat Kansas City consistently?
The interesting thing was you saw a lot of three safety looks from the Buccaneers in this game, which is something you don't really see in the NFL. It's prevalent at the college level, but they really took away those deep balls, and it was similar to what happened to Mahomes when they played Los Angeles, and then when they played Las Vegas in that first game the Raiders won, where they just took away the deep shots, and Mahomes just didn't really want to throw the ball underneath. So I think a big change for the Chiefs moving forward, obviously, is they're going to have to improve the depth on the offensive line, and then they're going to have to incorporate a lot of the shorter stuff into their passing game. But teams know if you can get to Mahomes and do it with four, you have a chance because you can play coverage on the back end and take away the deep shots to Hill. And then hopefully you have someone that can handle Kelce across the middle. But that was kind of an anomaly, if you ask me. I think Mahomes is going to rebound next year, and you're going to see the same guy we've seen for the past 2 years.
Now, if you're the Chiefs yourself, how do you address the glaring holes that you have up and down the roster as far as certain positions? What's the first thing that you look to fix immediately?
I would fix the offensive line, first and foremost. They're getting a little up there in age. Mike Remmers is an older player. Eric Fisher's now been in the league, it feels like, at least 10 years. So they're getting old on the outside of tackle. Mitchell Schwartz was hurt since, like, week 5 or 6 and hasn't played. So they're going to have to get some depth there. I think the one thing that I was surprised the most is Andy Reid had 2 weeks to prepare, and they were in a 5-man protection like 90% of the time. I think it was the third highest rate of any team since 2016 in any game. So he left those guys out there alone on the outside against Pierre Paul and Shaq Barrett. So maybe they tweak the offense, you know, get a blocking tight end similar to how the Raiders had Witten and Moreau that could block while you have Waller out in pass routes. Maybe get some running backs, keep them in for protection for a sixth man, but they just kept going 5-man protections and got exposed. So if they're going to keep doing that, they have to upgrade the tackle positions. And I think they need an upgrade at pass rusher as well. Frank Clark didn't do much in this game outside of the sack early. Chris Jones didn't do much in this game, although he's a great player. But they're going to need to get more pass rush on that defense as well.
And I thought that in their secondary, for as solid as Tyrann Mathieu is, they lack so much back there. I know the pass rush, it predicates the play of the secondary, because if you get home, you really don't need tremendous talent back there. But even when there was a little bit of pressure, they just caved in. Now, moving to the Raiders and moving to everything that happened, they are planning to release Tyrell Williams, and what was your overarching thought about his tenure?
Well, I thought the tenure started well. I think he scored a touchdown in his first 5 or 6 games as a Raider, and then came the foot injury. He just couldn't stay healthy. That was the problem. He couldn't stay on the field, and you can't have a guy on the roster making $11 million who's just, what did he play? I know he played most of last year hurt, and he missed this entire season with a labrum injury in his shoulder, so he's a guy I wouldn't mind bringing back if it's on a 1 year, you know, $2 or $3 million deal with some incentives to kind of help in the red zone as a bigger body guy. He's a different receiver, body type than you have with Ruggs, Renfro, and if they bring back Aguilar. But it was definitely a big swing and miss. And if you want to go back and really look at the free agent class they brought in 2 years ago that Gruden brought in with Trent Brown and Tyrell Williams and LaMarcus Joyner, those were all swing and misses. They spent a lot of money for very little production.
And that's the part I don't think people grasp, is the fact that the Raiders were left by Reggie McKenzie in a pretty good draft collateral and cap position. They have neither now. And they have foolishly spent their money on players that never panned out. Now, they have been kind of reports about Juju Smith-Schuster catching the Raiders' eye. How bad do you think that signing would be as far as the chemistry of the team and the fact that they have a guy in Bryan Edwards who possibly could provide that big body in the red zone?
I think it'd be a disaster of a signing. I like Juju Smith-Schuster for the type of player he is, but he's a slot player primarily. He's not going to win on the outside. He's not explosive. He doesn't have the size to win on balls on the boundary or even on go routes down the sideline. He doesn't have the speed either. He's a physical guy that's going to catch short crossing routes. He's a good blocker, but you have Hunter Renfro. So if you're going to sign Smith-Schuster, he's going to take snaps away from Renfro. They need a big physical X-type receiver on the outside is what they need. So, and he's going to want, you know, $12, $13, $14 million, maybe north of $15. And with the holes they have on defense, they do not need to be spending any sort of resources on that type of player. He doesn't fit the offense unless you're going to play him in the slot with Renfro in, like, 3-by-1 sets. But even then, you're very limited on what you could do. I would not like the signing at all if that actually happens.
Do you think John Gruden is so hell-bent on just throwing money after every offensive piece that he thinks will either make him appear smarter or just give Derek Carr the best chance when you have such glaring defensive liabilities?
Feels that way, doesn't it? Like every offseason he's going to figure out, how are we going to add to this offense, whether it's Martavius Bryant or trading for Antonio Brown or, you know, last year spending a lot of draft capital on Ruggs and Bowden. And Edwards, and bringing those guys in, and then Witten. I think I've seen the Raiders tied to Le'Veon Bell kind of as a number two back. That wouldn't shock me at all. Gruden's always had a high affinity for him. He's talked lowly of him. He could fit in that third down role, but I think that he's going to spend resources on this offense, and he's going to turn to Gus Bradley and say, okay, you have a lot of young talent over, you figure it out, but I'm going to make my offense a top five to top ten offense again, and kind of just not fix the defense is kind of my fear going into this.
Now, we had, I'm sure that the Texans are not going to part with Deshaun Watson to the Raiders, but there's been talk about Marcus Mariota possibly capturing the attention of the Washington football team. What would you move him for?
My feeling is they'd get, you know, probably a fifth-round pick back, just because, you know, it's $10.7 million. But there are incentives in that contract on playing time. So if he goes over there and starts, it could push north of $18 to $20 million, I've seen reports on. So that's kind of a large amount of money to spend on a guy who played one game last year. I think it's going to be a conditional pick. Let's say it's a conditional five, and then based on the way he plays next year, it could be a four or it could be a three. You know, let's say Washington wins the division and goes to the playoffs. Maybe the Raiders get a third-round pick out of that. So I would tie some sort of condition to it. And we might be looking at a 2022 pick, not a 2021 pick. That's just the feeling I have.
What do you think about, or what is there about Nathan Peterman that enthralls John Gruden?
I have no idea. And the fact they guaranteed $1 million, when I would bet if he's a free agent on the open market, you could get him for league minimum with no guarantee. You're basically saying he's on the roster next year unless you're going to eat $1 million in cap space. I don't understand why they moved so quickly for that deal. without figuring out what they're going to do with Carr and Mariota before that. So it's clear one of those two, Carr and Mariota, will not be back next year. It's highly likely that's Mariota. But there's something with Peterman that has Gruden excited. I don't know what it is. We've seen him play in the preseason 2 years ago, and we saw what he looked like, what was it, for about a half a quarter against Atlanta, a couple drives where it was just dreadful. So he's young. He runs. The decision-making has always been a question mark. He's been in the offense, but if the Raiders have to play Nathan Peterman at any point next year, it's a lost season.
Now, if we put pretty much a pin in the Raiders for a second and kind of move on to other teams and then spin back to Vegas, how scary do you think the Chargers are going to be as far as this is going to be year two of Justin Herbert? They have more of an offensive mind. They look like they're going to possibly be in position to kind of retool. Do you think this is the year that Herbert supplants Carr as the number two quarterback in the NFC, in the AFC West?
I do. I know Raider fans don't want to hear that, but Justin Herbert is a very talented player. He put up really good numbers. The only thing he's going to have to do is he's going to have a new offensive coordinator this year, so he's going to have to figure out a new system. But if they can put a system in place where they can rely more on the offensive line and running game and take a little bit off of Herbert's shoulders, he's going to have weapons with if they can bring Henry back as well. So you'd have Hunter Henry, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Austin Eckler will be healthy next year. They can add some more depth to that offense. And they have cap room. They have plenty of cap room. I want to say they're around $30 million. And then obviously with Staley coming over as the head coach from the Rams, you would expect the defense is going to improve as well. And they have playmakers over there. They still have Bosa. They drafted Kenneth Murray last year. They still have Hayward. They still have
Derwin James.
Chris Harris. Derwin James will be back next year. So there's talent on that defense, and they have cap room and picks. And the way Herbert played last year, there's a good chance that they're going to be fighting for a playoff spot next year. They're going to be neck and neck with the Raiders. They're not going to be, 4-12 or 5-11. I don't see that.
How afraid or worried do you think that the Raider fan base should be if, or do you think that Denver will try to make that move for Deshaun Watson, trying to give the Texans everything that they seek?
If Deshaun Watson ends up in Denver, the Raiders might finish in last place next year. I know they don't want to hear that, but you'd arguably have the fourth best quarterback in the division. I know there's a lot of Raider fans on Twitter that think that Derek Carr is a better quarterback than Deshaun Watson, Herbert, Russell Wilson, and that's just not true. And with the defense they have over there in Denver, if they can bring Von Miller back, you have Bradley Chubb. If they bring Simmons back and all the weapons they have on offense, I know they're young, but they have weapons. The AFC West might be the best division in football if that happened. I just don't see Watson being moved. And he's, for anything short of four first-rounders, just for them to pick up the phone. And at the end of the day, I think he's a Houston Texan next year.
I agree. I think that the Broncos might go not to the extreme. They might keep their draft capital. Do you see them signing like a Cam Newton or Dak Prescott?
If Prescott's available, I think, Raider fans won't want to hear this either. I would actually prefer Dak Prescott over Derek Carr. But I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's going back to Dallas at $38 million on the franchise tag. I think, Denver might be more in play for, Sam Darnold if he becomes available. He's younger. He's a guy hopefully they can build around. He's probably better than Drew Locke. Or they can go the veteran route and, maybe a quarterback becomes available they can bring in. I don't think they're going to go the Jameis Winston route. There's just too many turnovers there. That's a team that just needs to protect the football. Maybe if they can get their hands on, maybe Teddy Bridgewater can come and just don't turn the ball over and just keep them in games and give them a chance. Now, obviously, Derek Carr is a better quarterback than Teddy Bridgewater, but they need a guy that can just distribute the ball and get it to the playmakers and just make good decisions. So I think they're going to make a change. I don't see them running it back with Drew Locke.
It is funny because at times I saw Drew Locke play fairly well in spots, but the number of just 50-50 balls in awful situations came back to crush this entire organization. John Elway.
I was going to say the other thing that we're not really paying attention to is Cortland Sutton missed basically the whole season. And he was in position to be a top 10 receiver in the NFL last year. And you drop him back in that offense with Phillip Lindsay, Melvin Gordon, Jerry Jeudy, Noah Fant, Hamler, the wide receiver, Tim Patrick. They have plenty of weapons. So, I mean, I think a lot of people are overlooking the fact they didn't have Sutton either, and he has a chance to be a top 10 receiver in this league.
The only flaw I see with Denver on offense outside of the quarterback is Garrett Bowles. Garrett Bowles will single-handedly keep defenses in the game. But other than that, yes, they have tremendous talent. When we spin back to the Raiders and we spin back to Gus Bradley, and do you think that the expectation of what John Gruden hopes that Gus Bradley brings to this defense is too high, too low, or does he want somebody to install just in case things go bad as of pretty much hiring to fire him?
We're about to find out. We'll see what they do in free agency. If they don't spend a lot of money and you see them bring in, you know, a name wide receiver or maybe Le'Veon Bell, they're spending money on the offense and not the defense, then it's going to have the appearance of John Gruden just saying, hey, Gus Bradley, I've given you, you know, Farrell, Crosby, I've signed Kwiatkowski, I signed Littleton, we have Abram, we have Arnett, we have Mullen, go figure it out. And I think that would be the wrong move. They need to bring in at least two defensive tackles and a free safety. Whether those are high-priced guys or maybe they're not, maybe there are some under-the-radar guys, but they're going to have to add several pieces to this defense for them to have a fighting chance to get in the 15th to 20th range of the league, which I think they will, but we're going to find out a lot of what John Gruden thinks of Gus Bradley here soon once we hit free agency.
There was also been kind of light rumors that the team could be looking to shop Trent Brown. What is his market? Who do you think will make a valid offer if this is true? And who replaces him?
That's a tough question. The market is not going to be what Raider fans think it's going to be. He's a guy that's basically missed half the games the last two seasons. The $14 million, I don't think it's that big of an issue. I just think it's the fact of, can he stay healthy? Is he going to be available every week? Kind of the same problems the Raiders have with him. If they were able to move him, I don't think you're looking at anything more than maybe a fourth or fifth round pick. It's not going to be a second or third round pick, I don't think. And if they move on from him, the unfortunate thing is there's just really no offensive tackles that are going to be available in free agency that are just plug and play and you're not going to miss a beat. You hear Taylor Mouton mention a lot to the Raiders, but at the same time, he's going to command more than the 14 that Trent Brown's making. And I bet he's getting franchised anyways. I don't think Carolina's going to let him walk, so. Unless some free agents become available as these teams try to get under the salary cap squeeze, which I think a lot of veterans, you know, age 30 or older are going to get let go here pretty quickly. And maybe someone becomes available that they can drop in there. But I actually still think there's a fighting chance that Trent Brown's on this roster next year.
I agree. I think when he's healthy, he is a standout player. It's just that he's been beset by injuries, and then he almost had a catastrophic event on the sidelines before game because of the medical staff. I think Trent Brown wants to be a Raider. I just think that it's more of injuries are bad luck. He's had a run of bad luck. Now, but before we step out, is there any recent or underrated type of mid to late round draft prospect that you want the Raiders to keep a keen eye on?
That's a tough one. You know, there's a lot of guys that are probably creeping up, probably in that second, third round range. I think the Raiders, maybe there's some running backs going to drop in this draft. I like the running back out of Texas A&M he's out of Mississippi State, last name is Hill. Pretty athletic guy, physical. Yeah, I think he's a guy that might be there staring at you in the fifth round, and he's a guy that can add. That can give you some immediate dividends coming next season behind Josh Jacobs. I think you're probably going to get more play out of a late-round running back. They don't need to go get a running back in free agency. They don't need to go get a running back in the third or fourth round. They can probably get one fifth, sixth round. But he's a guy that I've seen a little bit of, and he flashes every time I see him.
He runs hard. I've seen him at Mississippi State for the last couple of years. He runs hard. He runs strong. He runs the way that John Gruden envisions all his running backs should run. Now, before we get out of here, can you tell people where they can interact with you on social media?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. They can follow me. It's at rholm22. It's RHOLM22. You should have some more, you know, mock drafts coming up in the next week or two, as well as as we start to get into free agents and maybe some film breakdown on some guys the Raiders do bring in. I'm not going to try to break down a ton of free agents, but if the Raiders do make a move and sign someone, I'll try to do a little work on that.
He is definitely one of the best out there. Our guy, Ryan Holmes, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Full Press Raiders Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
This has been an episode of the Full Press Raiders Podcast. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other.